And we're holding on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the fifth line. We talked about the writing of the Megillah for the Sota. So now talking about more dinim and more questions in connection with that. Boy Rava. So Rava asked the question, Kosef Shtei Megillahs L'Shtei Sotas. Suppose that the Kohen wrote two Megillahs for two different Sotas. Now we actually learned at the beginning of the Masechta that you can't give two sotas to drink at the same time. There's this concept, enos mitzvahs, chavilas, chavilas. You don't do mitzvahs in bundles. But here we're talking about, let's say, b'diyevet, he did do that. So b'diyevet, there were two sotas over there. And instead of finishing with one, then starting with the next one, instead he wrote two megillas, one for each one of them. And fine, we know that the writing of it has to be done l'shma. So each one was written. One was written for Rachel, the other one for Leah. But then he dissolved both of them into one cup of water. Mahu, what would be the din? The question is, does the concept that it has to be l'shma, does that apply also to the erasing? So this that you have to have the writing is done l'shma. Rashi brings because the pasuk says, but also look. The Kohen should do for her. So does that mean just the writing, or does that mean the erasing also has to be l'shma? So is it k'siva l'shma? Exactly that. K'siva l'shma b'inan. Do we just need that the writing is done l'shma v'ha'ika? And you do have that, because each one was written in the name of this particular sota. Oidyoma b'inan nami mechika l'shma, or maybe the erasing has to be done l'shma as well. And therefore it's no good. And if you're going to say that we do require that the erasing should also be l'shma, what about another case? What about if he erased each one into a separate cup, like you're supposed to, and then he went and mixed the two cups together? Mahu, then what would be the din? Do we have mechikah l'shma ba'inin v'ha'ika? Here you have both the writing and the erasing were both done l'shma, and therefore we're good. Oduma holavdi da kashasya v'holavdi da kashasya. Or maybe the problem is that now when you're giving to Rachel and then you're giving to Leah from the same cup, neither one is drinking the Megillah that was done for her. So therefore that would be no good. V'im tim tzaloymar. If you're going to say that, yes, in that case, that would be no good because each one is drinking, because neither of them is drinking from a cup that's distinctively for her. What about, here's another possibility. What if he did that? He wrote two separate Megillahs. He dissolved them into two separate cups. Then he mixed the two cups together, two cupfuls of water together. And then chazer b'chilkan, and then he poured them off into two separate cups. Mahu, now what would be the din? Would we say yesh breira? Would we say that there is breira and therefore it comes out that we would say that each one winds up with the actual water, with the actual molecules of water and ink and whatnot that was supposed to be for her? So therefore that works for the Shema. Or ain breira, or would we say that ain breira? And therefore that wouldn't work. Tosfos points out that this is not necessarily the same kind of breira as we have elsewhere in Shas. Usually in Shas, when we talk about Breira, we mean that it was never definitively determined in the first place what belongs to which one. You never had the, here we have that ultimately each one was done into a separate cup, and only then were they mixed together, and now they were separated again, as opposed to most cases of Breira in the Gemara, usually are where you never had it separated out in the first place. Whose is what portion, or what part is Truma and Meiser and what part is not, etc. So it's not exactly the same, which is why Tosfos says, that's why the Gemara, when it discusses Breira in many places in Shas, it doesn't bring up this point, because this is a different kind of Breira than we're usually talking about in Shas. Tosfos ends up discussing after a little bit that's the point. In other words, that we could say that since after all each one is in its own cup, so maybe we would say that now all you need is, it doesn't have to be that it doesn't have to be that she drinks the actual molecules of water that were originally prepared for her. The fact is, of course, that when you mix together two liquids, you're not really going to have that, and it's almost impossible that you're going to have that every one is going to contain exactly the right molecules of water. But nevertheless, the question is that, is it good enough? Because it was distinctive at one point that you have certain water as hers, and now she's drinking water that's distinctive from the other ones. So maybe that's good enough, or maybe not. Anyway, so the Gemara leaves off teku, so we don't know the answer to that one. As usual, the rule is, at least the way that Rambam paskins, it's a rule that goes back to the Gaonim, that when you have a series of questions like this tied together with imtim tzoloimar, then the halacha follows in each case the imtim tzoloimar, the possibility that the Gemara brought up, if you're going to say such and such, then, and then it uses that as the basis for the next question. So the result is here, what you have is, if in Rava's first question, where they were dissolved into one cup, then it would in fact be possible, because you need to have the dissolving is done l'shma. In his second case, where it was two, in his second case, where you did them in separate cups and mixed them together, also it would be possible. Only in the last case, where you then redivided them into two cups, then the teku, the result of it would be, says the Rambam, because of the suffix, she shouldn't drink it l'hatchila, but if she drank it, then we're not going to make her drink it again. That would be how we do with the suffix over here. Because of the suffix, we're not going to make her go through the whole ordeal again. So that's that as far as that series of questions. Another thing, Boy Rava. Rava asks another question. Hishka b'siv. What if the Kohen gave the woman to drink using siv? Mahu, then what would be the din? Siv is a kind of absorbent material that grows around palm trees. So Rashi describes what we mean is it's hollow, so therefore it's like a straw. So like she can drink out of it as if through a straw. Tosfos Shantz mentions that explanation and also explains that it means, and then gives a different girsa, b'siv oy b'shveferes. So therefore shveferes would be a tube. So then a shveferes would be something more like a straw. Siv, according to that, would be more like a it's sort of like a woven material. So it'd be also like you're like she's drinking it kind of through a filter. And Tosfos has seems to have another possibility, which is that you actually use the sieve to absorb the water like a sponge, and then you have her swallow the sieve with the water absorbed in it. So Rava is asking, would that work? Mahu, what would be the din? B'shveferes mahu. And what if it was in a tube? So, this is about the idea that the sieve absorbs the water and then she swallows the sieve. That's the Oruch says that. So whatever the case, whether she's using the sieve like a straw or whether she's using it like a filter or whether she's swallowing the whole thing, Rava is asking, is that considered a valid way of giving her the water? Derech sieve b'kach and derech sieve b'kach. Is that considered a normal way of drinking or is it not? And again, the Gemara says teku. An interesting thing about this one is all the other questions that Rava is asking, the Rambam brings them one way or the other. In Hilchos Sota, for example, with the previous series of questions, he says the first two are possible, and the third one, because of the suffix, she shouldn't drink it. But if she did, b'dieved, we don't make her drink again. And similarly, we're going to have with the next one that the Gemara that Rav Ashi is going to ask. For some reason, the Rambam leaves out this one about Siv and a couple of the Achronim, Maaser Ekeach and then the Minchas Chinuch wonder why the Rambam leaves it out. But that's how it is. The Rambam left it out, so we don't know what he would say about it. But Pashtos, I guess we would assume he would say the same as the previous one: you shouldn't do it. But if she did, then b'dieved, we wouldn't make her drink it again. But we don't know. Okay. Another one, Boy Rav Ashi, Nishpuchu Mehen V'Nishtayru Mehen. What happens if some of the water spilled and only some of it was left over? Is that good enough that she's only going to be drinking some of the water, or is that not good enough because you need all of it? And again, the answer is take. There are Rishonim who have the Girsa that the Gemara is asking two separate things. Number one, what if Nishpachu Mehen? What if some of it spilled? And then separately, and then the Rosh has the Girsa, Nishpachu Mehen, what Mahu, what would be the din? If some of it spilled, so the question would be, what if some of it spilled, then can she drink the rest of it? And also, what about if most of it spilled and you only had a little bit of it left? So the Drogachover also understands a little bit differently. He says there are also two questions. He says, first, the question is, what if some of it spilled and she drank the rest? And the second question is, what if none of it spilled at all, but she didn't actually drink all of it, she only drank some of it? So what would be the din? And again, the answer is teiku. So again, if some of it spilled, then again, machatchila, she shouldn't drink the rest. But if she did, then b'dieved, we don't make her drink again. Okay. Now, we talked in the Mishnah about the details of what parts of Parashas Sota are actually written on the scroll that is now erased and dissolved into the water. So in that connection, the Pasuk mentions that the Kohen writes it all out and dissolves it into the water. But you also have twice in those Psukim, it uses the expression vishbia, that the Kohen beswears her. First, it says he beswears her and he tells her, if nobody lay with you, etc., then you'll be cleansed and you won't be harmed by this water. But if you did, then there'll be consequences. Then he continues, then the pasuk continues, the Kohen should beswear the woman with Shvuas Allah and tell her that Hashem will, and that in that case, Hashem will make you an object of a curse and so forth among your people. So twice it says the word Vishbiyah. So Amar Abzera Amar Rav, Shtei Shvuas Hamuras Basoita Lama. Why does it say twice in connection with the Soita that the Kohen beswears her? Achas Kodim Shenimcha Megillah, Va'achas La'achas Shenimcha. One takes place before the Megillah is erased and the other one after it. So Abzera is saying, in other words, the Kohen beswears her, then he writes out the Megillah and dissolves it. And then gives it to her, and maybe gives it to her to drink, maybe not yet. We're going to have in a couple of blocks, we're going to have, and at the beginning of the next parak, we're going to discuss the exact order of things. But anyway, Reb Zera is saying, after the Megillah is erased, he beswears her, before she drinks it, he beswears her again, and that's why the two shvos. But Maskif Lo Rava. But Rava asks on that, how could you say that? Tarvayu kodim shenimchaka megillah ksivan. The fact is, both of them say in the Torah, before he dissolves the ink. So how can you say that one of them takes place after it? Fine, ein muktamum ucha b'Torah, but the Torah is telling us an order of things. Although with that said, Mitzvah Esan in the back of the Gemara says exactly that. That's why Rav is not bothered by that question. But still, Rava is bothered by it, and therefore he needs a different explanation. So Ela Omer Rava. So rather, Rava says the reason for the two Shavuos, Achas Shavuos Yeshima Ola, but Achas Shavuos Einima Ola. The difference is one of them is an oath that does have a curse together with it, because the Torah calls it Shavuos Ola, the oath of the curse. The other one is a shvur without that. Okay, heichidami. So what does that mean? Shvur sheyesh ima ola. How do you express the shvur sheyesh ima ola? Now the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to tell us a basic nusach of it. But now we're going to have the various amudoyim who are going to discuss the within that nusach itself. What is the exact way that the kohen should say it to her? So Omar Rava, so Omar of Amram Omar Rav. So Rav Amram says in the name of Rav, the way that he does the Shvua Sheyeshima Ola, he says to her, Mashmi Ani Olaich, I am beswearing you in Hashem's name, Shaloi Nitmes, that you did not become Tomei, Sheim Nitmes, because if you did become Tomei, Yavoyu Bich, then the water will come in you and will cause a curse and you'll end up suffering the consequences that a sota does. But Rava says that doesn't work. The fact is, the Torah is calling it shvuas ha'ola, which implies that it's a shvua that contains an ola within the shvua. Here what you have is Ola l'chuda kaima or Shvua l'chuda kaima. Here the Ola and the Shvua are two separate things, because the Kohen is saying, I'm beswearing you that you didn't become Tomei. And then separately, if you became Tomei, then here is the Ola. So you don't have this. Shvua is Mashbi'ani alayich. I am beswearing you. So in other words, if the Kohen is saying to the woman, if he had just stopped over there, So what would happen, in other words, if let's say there didn't need to be an Ola at all. In a regular case, a person says to somebody else, Mashbi'ani alecha, I am beswearing you that such and such. And the other person answers, Amen.
They agree.
Then they agree to it. So then what happens is, so now if it turns out that was false, you know, if I say, Mashbi'ani alecha, that I'm beswearing you that you ate this morning, and you say Amen, and in fact you didn't eat this morning, then you would be over on a Shavuos Bitu. You'd be over on a false Shavuos. So Rav Amram is saying over here, that's the first part of what the Kohen tells her. Then he continues with the inverse of it, not just you're going to be, so he's saying, if it's not true, if you are in fact Tomei, then here are the consequences that are going to happen. The problem is, Rava is saying, then you don't have the Ola and the Shavua together. The Pasuk is calling it Shavua Sa'ola, the Shavua of the curse, which implies that you have a Shavua that incorporates a curse in it. Here you have two separate things. The Shavua, I'm beswearing you that you're not Tomei. And separately, if you are Tomei, then here is the consequences. So that doesn't work. Ela Omar Rava. So rather, Rava says the proper Nusach should be Mashbi'ani alayich she'im nitmes yavoyu bich. You don't even start with the positive part. You start by saying, I am beswearing you that you should know if you became Tomei, then the water will come into you and accomplish such and such. So that's a Shavua Sa'ola. But Omar of Ashi, but Rav Ashi still says that's no good. Ola Ika Shavua Leka. In that case, you only have the Ola. You don't really have the Shavua. Because in that case, what you have is the Shavua is on the Ola, that the Ola is going to take place. You need a Shavua on the woman. How is he being mashbia the woman? He's not saying, all he's saying is I'm making a shavua that if such and such happen, then the Ola should come on you. So he's not really beswearing her to anything.
Even if she responds amen,
right. So Ela Omer Rav Ashi, so rather Rav Ashi says the nusach should be mashbi'ani alayich, I am beswearing you, shaloi nitmes, that you did not become Tomei. The im nitmes, but if you did become tame, yavoyu bich, then the water will come into you. So now you have correctly shvua sa'ola. So it's different, in other words, that all this time he's saying bich. The difference is that the difference is in Rav Amram's version originally, he said mashbi'ani alayich. He said mashbi'ani alayich that you're not Tomei, and he continues because if you became Tomei, then you're voyu bich. So Rava had shlugged that up. Now Rav Ashi's loshin is a little bit different. He's saying that I'm mashbi'ani alayich that you're not Tomei ve'im nitmes, and if you have sworn falsely and you are in fact Tomei, then you're voyu bich, then it will come in you. So now you have a shvua sa'ola, because now you have the shvua is on the woman and also on the ola. So that takes care of it.
The ola is the outcome.
So the ola is the curse, which is the outcome. Yeah. So yeah. So in fact, one of the Mephoshim, the Mincha Sota, explains that it's not really so much an argument. Rav Amram is saying you could use this Nusach. He agrees you could use any of the other Nuschois either. And Rava says that your Nusach is no good. I mean, in a different one, Rav Ashi says to Rava that your Nusach is no good either. But in other words, Rav Amram, for example, would agree that Rava's or Rav Ashi's Nusach would also be valid. He's just saying that the way I said it would also work. Okay. The Mishnah says, "Amahi emeres amin amin." Now it's at the end, after the Kohen beswears her, the Pasuk says that she says amin amin. Tosfos refers to Gemaras in a couple of Gemaras in Shavuos that say that in general, when a person says amin to a Shavua, is the equivalent of saying the Shavua themselves. And also, it includes a few different things. Saying Amen includes accepting the Shavua. It includes, it's tantamount to a Shavua itself. It also means, I believe that what you're saying is true. And by the way, when we say Amen to a Bracha, you have a number of those things in it as well. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings that when you're saying Amen to a Bracha, so first of all, you Yotze the Bracha, that's true. But besides that, also the word Amen itself means, so when it's a Bracha praising Hashem for doing such and such, Pekeach Ivrim Mat, Matir Asurim, etc., then saying Amen to it says, I believe that what you're saying is true, that Hashem is Pekeach Evrim, that Hashem is Matir Asurim, and so forth. Then you have, for example, let's say you have Amen on, let's say, a Yehi Rotzen or something. Then it's more Amen, I also want this to come true. And you have some brachas that are actually both. You have some brachas that are formulated in such a way where we ask Hashem to do such and such, rather than just acknowledging that Hashem does such and such. And then the Amen is both. It means I acknowledge that Hashem is the one who has the power to do such and such. And I am also asking that this should come true.
It's like Kiddush.
Okay, so now when she says Amen, Amen, the question is why the double Amen? So Amen al ha'ola, Amen al ha'shavua. First of all, it means that there's an Amen on the curse that she's accepting on herself, that if indeed I am deserving of the curse, then I should get it. And Amen al ha'shavua, and also I'm accepting on myself the shavua, that in fact... I'm acknowledging that I accept that I accept this shrua on myself. That I'm saying, in other words, I agree that what you're saying, that I did not become Tomei, is true. And then if it turns out that it's not, then there are consequences. So she's saying Amen for both of them. Also, you asked me, by the way, the other day, what happens if she doesn't say Amen, Amen? But Pashtos, nevertheless, it's still Chal. I mean, he's beswearing her. The fact that she doesn't feel like saying Amen doesn't necessarily change that. But
I feel like she should, I agree.
But nevertheless, he's still besworn her, and he's still written out Hashem's name and so forth. So maybe we would force her to say Amen. Maybe we wouldn't even bother. Maybe we would say it's not even Ma'akir.
She doesn't sign, but she would sign her name. Okay, I agree to this.
Anyway.
All right.
Okay. Also, the Amen Amen means a few other things as well. It means Amen Me'ish Zeh, Amen Me'ish Acher. It means Amen that I have not become Tomei with this man that you suspected me of to begin with and did the kinnery about this man. And Amen that it's also not any other man. And now that she's saying Amen Amen to that, so now if she was in fact Mizana with some other man, then also the consequences of the Sota will happen to her.
Even if it happened, a conditional story and it hasn't even known, but there's a kinnery.
Right, exactly. Exactly. In this connection, by the way, you have a famous story they tell about the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh published his first the first edition of his Pirush when he was back during his lifetime. Later, about 40 years after his Ptira, there was another. They were preparing another edition of it for print. The printer was a fellow named Osher. He was a shtickle maskil. There's one place in Parshas A when it discusses over there the mitzvah to lend money to a poor yid or give tzedakah to a poor yid. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes a whole pirush over there, api kabbalah, of the deeper idea behind those psukim, and he finishes off over there about the psukim over there are hinting when it talks about a poor person among you. He says it's hinting at Mashiach, and he goes into a whole arichos about Mashiach, and he ends off Mashiach Hashem u'shmoi chayim. The name of Mashiach is Chaim. It's known that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is one of those people who was a nitzitz of Mashiach. That's why, for example, it says the Baal Shem Tov wanted to meet him. So therefore, so he's writing on himself that he's the Mashiach Shebedur. This Osher didn't like that idea. A person says on himself he's Mashiach and he's long gone or whatever. So he took out those words of Shmoi Chaim in his print. So now the Or HaChaim HaKadosh and Shemaim is very disturbed by that. He says, you know what I'm going to arrange because of that? He says, this is how the story goes. He took out my name in one place in his pirush, in one place in my pirush. I'm going to stick his name in someplace in the pirush elsewhere. That's going to show what a terrible person he is. And so it happened in Parashas Nosai when the Or HaChaim HaKadosh brings this Gemara over here that she says, Amen, 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 Imish Zeh, Imme Acher. He calls Min HaShemayim. And instead of me'acher, it was printed me'osher, with a shin instead of a ches. So in effect, so you have, he's quoting over there, that this woman is saying that I wasn't mezana with osher. Not long after that, they found in town that this osher, in fact, was guilty of going around with an ish, and they gave him malchus and kicked him out of the city, so he got what he deserved. Messed with the wrong person, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, the Mishnah continues, Omen shalei satisi arusa. Also, she's saying an Amen that I did not go astray when I was in Arusa. Now, even though, as we're going to learn further on in the Masechta, the husband is not able to be Mekane for her when she's in Arusa. We're going to learn later on that it has to be Kodma Shrivas Baal Laboyal. It has to be for her to be a Soita that she first had relations with her husband before there's any possibility that she had relations with anybody else. So he can't be Mekane for her as an Arusa, So that, in other words, so that by itself wouldn't be strong enough for her to be mashbiah her. But now Rashi says, this is where we learn the concept of Gilgul Shavua. We have in many places in Shas that Reuven brings Shimon to Beis Din, and he has a claim that's strong enough to require Shimon to swear on something. And then we say that he can also include in the Shavua other things which by themselves would have been too weak for him to bring Shimon to Beis Din. But right. Now that he already has Shimon in Beis Din and already swearing, that he can add other things as well. This is where we learn it from, that we're saying that the husband can include and the wife can be made to swear even on, for example, that she wasn't Mizana as an Arusa, even though had it been while she's an Arusa that the husband suspects her, he wouldn't be able to be Mekane to her at that point, as we're going to learn later on. But nevertheless, he can be included in the one Shavua.
She would be Mekane.
And she would, and then she'd suffer the consequences. Yeah. So that's Arusa. Unesua, or when I was already fully married. Or Shemeres Yavam, or when I was Shemeres Yavam, or Knusa, or when I was fully married. Meaning, in other words, if this woman at one point had been a Shemeres Yavam, and now she did Yibum with her Yavam, and now the Yavam suspects her and brings her to the Beis Mikdash, etc. So again, there can be included in the Shavua that when she was a Shemeres Yavam, she wasn't Mizana. We're going to discuss that point. We're going to discuss that point in the Gemara. The Gemara explains, by the way, the Gemara explains in Yavamus that the Knusa is the same as Nesua. It means fully married. The difference is when we talk about a regular marriage, we go through the stages of Erusin and then Nisuin. When it comes to a Yavama, since technically all you have, Midaraisa, all you need is Bia, only Midarabonon do you need Maimur, as we learned in Yavamas, therefore it uses the word Knusa for it. So in other words, so Knusa means brought into the household, yeah. Okay, so the Amen, so the double Amen includes all these points. Also, it's also Amen Shaloi Nitmesi. Also, she's saying Amen that I did not become Tomei. The Im Nitmesi, Yavoyu Bi. And I agree that if I became Tomei, then the water will come into me and will cause all these consequences that happen to the Sota. Rav Meir says it means even more than that. Amen Shaloi Nitmesi. It means an Amen that I did not become Tomei before. Amen Shaloi Et Tomei. And an Amen that I will not become Tomei in the future. And if eventually at some later point she is Mizana, then the water will, the Gemara will bring that the water sort of like gurgles back up into her throat and causes the consequences then. Tosfos brings something similar from the Yerushalmi that happened, that the water not really comes up into her throat like the way our Gemara is going to say, but rather like it sort of stays in her body. And then accomplishes the consequences when necessary. Almost like a shock, like it stays in the body. Yeah, you have actually. By the way, the Medrash tells a story involving two twin sisters. One of them was Mizana, and her husband is bringing her to Yerushalayim as a soita. She's nervous because she was in fact Mizana. She doesn't want to end up blowing up like a soita. So on the way, she passes through the town where her twin sister lives. And since they look very similar, so her sister offers, you know what, I'll do it instead of you. So I wasn't Mizana, so I'll get out of it safely. And then so will you. So she goes through the whole thing. Of course, she comes out of it okay. They come back together. The Medrash says they were so happy to see each other. They gave each other a kiss. And then that kiss was enough to transfer the Sota water from the one to the other. And the other one ended up happening to her what happens to a Sota. So the whole thing, of course, is Lamayla Miderach HaTeva. Mefoshim point out, really, you know, you think about it, this is the only example this is the only mitzvah in all of Torah where it says to do something supernatural like that in order to find out. You never find. I mean, every other mitzvah is supposed to be done within Derech HaTeva. Here you have something that's completely beyond Teva, the way this Mei Sota works. And the vote is, in other words, exactly that, in order to preserve the Kedusha of the Jewish household and in order to preserve Shalom Ben Ish L'Ishtai. And then the Torah is telling you that Hashem is saying, I will do a ness on that. I will do a ness for that purpose in order to make this work.
Wow.
We're going to learn at the end of the Masechta, by the way, the Jewish people had to be, what we're going to learn throughout the Masechta. We learned already at the beginning of the Masechta, the husband himself has to be on a high level. He has to also be that he wasn't guilty of any averus in this area. Otherwise, the water won't work for his wife. And we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta, in fact, that there came a point when people are, and they had to stop it because Znus is getting more rampant. Yeah. Anyway, getting back to the Mishnah. Hakol Shavin. Now, everybody, both the Tanakama and Rav Meir agree, She'en Masne Ima, that he cannot make a Tanai with her. In other words, there cannot be included in the Shvua, Lo Yal Kodem Shetisaris, about anything that happened before the Erusin. Loy al achas shetisgarish, and not about anything that would happen after she gets divorced. And also nister al acha v'nitmas v'achaka chazira. What would happen if he divorces her and then she's alone with one with another man, and she actually becomes tummy and she's actually mizana with him, and then her first husband remarries her? Also loy hayamas ne'ima, that also cannot be included in the Tanai, because all of those are cases where she's not going to be also to him. If she was mizana before the erusin, that doesn't make her also to him later on when he's ma'aris. So similarly, if it was after the gerushin, and Rashi explains, even if, now if she had had kiddushin in between after he divorced her, then he'd be also to remarry her. That's Machzor Gerushasai that it talks about in, that it talks about all over in Yevamos. But here, where it was only znus and there was no kiddushin, then there's a it doesn't aser her to remarry him. Therefore, that can't be included. So, in other words, in short, if this woman had been mizana in any of these examples before the erusin or after the gerushin or between the original marriage and the remarriage, then the water, then as long as she didn't during any time when she would become also to her husband, then the water doesn't do anything to her. So the Gemara says, Zahaklal, the general rule is, Kol Shitiboro V'loy Tehei Asura Loi, any time when, if she has relations, she won't be Asura to him. Loi Hayamas Ne'ima, then that can't be included in the Tanai, that's not included in the Shavua, because the Shavua only covers things where she would be Asura to him. So now, we mentioned in the Mishnah, Shemeras Yavam, so now that is going to, so now the Gemara is going to discuss that point. The Gemara says, Omer Rav Hamnona, Shemeres Yavam Shezinsa Asura Liyavam. If a Shemeres Yavam is Mizana, while she's a Shemeres Yavam, then Rav Hamnona says she is also to her Yavama. She is also to her Yavam. So Mimai, where is Rav Hamnona getting that from? So Midikatani, Shemeres Yavam Oknosa. Because in our Mishnah, you mentioned that she says that I wasn't Mizana when I was a Shemeres Yavam or when I was married. So Rav Hamnona says, Iyam Bishlema Asira. If you're going to say that a Shemeres Yavam is indeed also to her Yavam, that he can't do Yavam with her anymore, Mishum Hachi Mas Nebada. Well, then it makes sense why he could include that in the Tanai. And by the way, Tosfos points out, we're talking now, according to Rabbi Akiva, as the Gemara is going to point out over here, according to Rabbi Akiva, for sure that would be the case because it's a Chayve Lavin, and Rabbi Akiva holds that there can be even a Mamzer from Chayve Lavin. What we're talking about over here, Rav Hamnona is saying, even according to the Chachamim, we learned in Yevamos there was actually, we had a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, that there's a suffix whether a Shemeres Yavam is considered an erva to the extent where kedushin are not toifas, even though it's only an isur lav, since the pasuk says in it loisia eishes ames achutz leishzer, does that constitute just an isur that she cannot marry, or does that constitute a statement of fact she cannot marry a zor because kedushin are not toifas? So now, when Rav Hamnona is saying that she would be also to her Yavam, he's learning like that possibility that it means that that kiddushin are not tofus, and therefore that she would be also to her Yavam.
And she also she could even be also to a few of them, to a few brothers.
Well, when we say the Yavam, we mean whichever Yavam ends up being. So Rav Hamnona is saying again, Iyam at Bishlema Asira. If you say that she is in fact also to her Yavam, Mishum Hochi Masna Bahadah. Well, that explains why that can be included in the Tanai. Because again, the rule is, as in the Mishnah, any time when if she was Mizana, she would become also to her husband, then it can be included. Well, here, if she had been Mizana as a Shemeres Yavam, she'd be also to her Yavam. Her Yavam didn't know that. He did Yibum with her. So now we can say that it's included. Again, he wouldn't have been able to be Mekane to her at the time when she was a Shemeres Yavam, but now that he's Mekane to her as his fully married wife, then it can also include anything that would have made him also, that would have made her also to him before. Eli Amit Lo Yasira, but Rav Hamnona says if she's not also to the Yavam in the first place, then because she was Mizana doing while as a Shemeres Yavam, Hechi Mas Nevada, then how will he be able to make a Tanai with her? V'hatnan, didn't the Mishnah say Zach Klal Kol Shiluti Bov Lo Te Asura Loi Lo Yai Mas Neima, that if there's any case where there's Beila and she's not also to him, then he can't make the Tanai. So obviously that shows, therefore, that she would be also. However, they said in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, less Hilchus HaKerav Hamnuna. No, the halacha is not like Rav Hamnuna. She is not, in fact, also to the Yavam. So what about Ela Hodja Katani Shemeres Yavam Uknusa? What about our Mishnah that mentions the Shemeres Yavam? And yeah, that's where Rav Hamnuna is learning from. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Homani Rav Akiva. Because our Mishnah might be only like Rav Akiva, Dama in Kiddushin Tovsin B'chai V'Lavin. Rav Akiva says that even with Chai V'Lavin, Kiddushin don't work, or Mishavi La Ki Erva. So therefore, so Rav Akiva considers the Yavama to be like an erva, and he holds a child from such a thing would be a mamzer. So therefore, according to him, you could say therefore that a shemeres yavam is mizana is also to her husband, is also to her yavam, and again they can't do yibam anymore, only chalitza. But the Chachamim, so not like Tosfos had said that to begin with, Rav Hamnuna was talking even according to the Chachamim. Now we're saying that no. What the Mishnah is saying and what Rav Hamnuna is deriving from would be only according to Rav Akiva. The Chachamim might in fact disagree with that and say, since it's only an Isur Lav, maybe they would say Kedushin or Tofus, maybe not. The Tosfos Amri Marava discusses that at some length, whether maybe we would say that. Fact is, the Gemara in Yavamis does say there is a suffix whether Kedushin or Tofus in a Yavama. If a Yavama wants to marry somebody else without Yibum or Chalitza, does that work or not? Rav says it's not Tofus, and Shmuel says that it's a suffix and therefore she needs a get. But fine, whether we say that Kedushin or Tofus with her or not, we're not saying that it goes as far as Mamzerus, and therefore we, according to the Chachamim, and therefore we don't necessarily have a basis, according to them, for saying that if she was Mizana as a Shemeres Yavam, that she should be also to her, that she should be also to the Yavam, not necessarily.
If she got a Kedushin, then she'd be Astavosa, right?
So if she got Kedushin from somebody else, so that's the thing. Are those Kedushin even Toifus? Rav holds they are not. Shmuel says the Suffolk, and therefore because of the Suffolk, she's going to need a get from the other guy. She didn't get from the other guy, and she needed chalitza from the other. Anyway, Tosfos actually says over here that, first of all, Tosfos points out Amri Marava, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, refers to Rabbi Yumiya. So Rabbi Yumiya is the one who's objecting to what Rav Hamnuna is saying. Tosfos actually says a very interesting thing. Usually when the Gemara says the halacha is like somebody, or the halacha is not like somebody, then that's it, the halacha is like him. Here, Tosfos says, even though Rav Yumiya is disagreeing with Rav Hamnuna, nevertheless, Tosfos says, in this case, the halacha would be like Rav Hamnuna, that if the Shemeres Yavam is Mizana, she would be also to her husband. On the other hand, many Rishonim disagree with that and say that, no, we take what the Gemara is saying here at face value. So you have Machlokas Rishonim, in short, whether if a Shemeres Yavam is Mizana, is she, in fact, also to the Yavam or not? So that's that then. So Rav Hamnuna is saying that she would be also and tries to bring a proof from the Mishnah, and the Gemara is saying that's not the proof because the Mishnah might be like Rav Akiva. Okay, next. Boy Rav Yumiya. Rav Yumiya now has a question. Mao she yasna adam al nisuin harishonim. What about, would the husband, suppose the husband divorced his wife, remarried her, now during the second marriage he's mekane, can he include in his shvua that she wasn't mizana the first time around they were married? And what would happen also, can the yavam include in the shvua that she wasn't mizana when she was married to his brother? Now, Rashi explains that it's true that the Mishnah had mentioned arusa unasua shemeres yavam uknusa. However, you should realize says Rashi, those are not talking about one woman, those are talking about two different cases. One case of a woman who was married, or was arusa and then married, and a separate case of a woman who was a shemeres yavam and now is married to her yavam. So not necessarily from the Mishnah can you deduce that if she was married to Reuven and now he died and now she did yibum with Shimon, that Shimon should be able to include the time when she was married to Reuven. Not necessarily. You can't say that. You can't say that the Mishnah is implying that. Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that says since we're going to learn further on in the Masechta, the husband can be moichel on the kinui after he said al tisosui mishpoini, he can be moichel on that and then nothing happens. We're going to learn that later on in Daf Chafei or so, So Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that if he divorced her, it's the equivalent of being moichel, and therefore there'd be no question in the first place. But our Gemara is not necessarily taking that view.
Wasn't wanting, but if she actually had religion to someone else, so she was either.
Well, that's the yeah. So then the Gemara says Toshma. Well, that's what we can see from our Mishnah. Zakla kol shetibav lo teya surloi. If there's relations which don't make her also to him loy hoya masniima, then he can't make a tnai with her. Implying ha asira, implying that if it is something that would make her also to him. So hachinami demasna. Then indeed he can include that in the tonight. Now, if she had been mizana the first time around while she was married to him, then she would be also for them to get me married. Similarly, if she was mizana when she was married to Reuven, and then Reuven died, and now she's up for yibum to Shimon, then she would be also to Shimon. So therefore, the Gemara says shemamina. Good. Then that proves it. Yes, those can be included in the tonight as well. Okay. Now, we said in the Mishnah, Rav Meir Omer Omen Shalonit Mesi before. Rav Meir says that not only you can include the past, but also the future, that she won't become Tomei in the future. So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Loik Sha'omer Rav Meir Omen Shalonit Tamei, he doesn't mean Shem to Tamei Mayim Bot Kenosa Me'achshav. He doesn't mean that the water will already test her as of now, because Hashem judges a person as they are now, Ba'asher Rusham. Rather, what it means is Ella Lichshiti Tamei. It means that if she becomes Tamei in the future, Mayim Ma'arit Rinoisa, then the water will gurgle back up into her throat, or Bod Kenosa, and will test her then, and the consequences will happen to them. Will happen then. Rashi brings the word Ma'aririn when a person is like gurgling and having trouble breathing. So Rashi explains the word Ma'arit means it chokes her when a person is gasping and it makes a sound like oh oh oh. So that sounds like ar, and in fact, he brings from a pasuk that uses such an expression. So therefore, ma'arinosa means the water comes back into her throat and chokes her and causes her to suffer the consequences of a saita. So the Gemara says, boy, Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi, in this connection, asks a question. Ma'ushi yasna odam al nisuin ha'achroni. So now, according to the mayor, would he be able to also have in mind the later marriage? In other words, so can he say now, we're married the first time, and I'm Makana to you. If it should happen that we get divorced at some later time, and then I remarry you, then I'm, as of now, I'm including in the Tanai that you're not Mizana in the second marriage. Can he include that or not? Do we say hashta mi'aloy asirolei? Right now, she's not also to him because it has nothing to do with the current marriage. It's only the future kiddushin and the future marriage that's going to create the isir. Oduma zimin de megarish lava hodem ahadola. The fact is, he might divorce her and then remarry him, and then remarry her. And if she's mizana during the second time, she will be also to him. So according to the mayor, that you can include the future. Can he include even the future, even though it's a separate marriage? So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's prove from our Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah, Kol Shavin, both the Meir and the Chachamim agree. Shaloi ha'yamasne ima, loy al-kodim shetis'aris, v'loy al-acha shetis'aris. She can't include anything that happened before the erusin or after the divorce. And even nistiro la'echa v'nitnes v'achakath yachzirena, even if she was secluded and was mizan, even if she was secluded with another man and was mizana with him, and then he remarried her loy ha'yamasne, then he can't include that in the tnai. Implying that yes, if he does remarry her and then she becomes Tomei, where then that would make her also to him for the future after that. Then indeed you can include that in the Tanai. So good, Shmamina, that proves that yes, he can include that. In the Mishnah, by the way, Hagos Abach points out that you seem to sort of have two gersois blended together in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Loi Kodim Shadis Aris. And then on the other hand, the Mishnah continues, if she was alone with somebody and became Tommy and then he remarried her, so he brings that there seemed to be actually a slightly different, there's an older Girsa, and then there's a Girsa of Rashi, and it looks like the printer kind of blended the two of them together. But anyway, that's that. The bottom line is that yes, any time that her znus would make her also to her husband, it can be included. Since your mayor hold that you can include the future as well, then yes, he would say that their husband can include that if we ever get divorced and remarried, that it should include that also. Then yes, it will include that also. And then if she's mizana the second time around, then yes, as we said, my ma'arinoi, so the water will choke her and so forth. The Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan." We learn in a brisa when the pasuk says "Zois Torah Saknois." This is the Torah of the warning. So that means, when it says Torahs, the Torah of implies that every time you have the same kind of thing is done again. So that means, Rashi says, Torah achas l'chol aknos. There's one rule for all knos, for all cases where the husband wounds her and the whole sota process is triggered, which we learn from that. Malamacha isha shos of a shona. It means that a woman could end up drinking the sota water again and again. So she was under suspicion. The husband was makane. They went through the whole process. She drank. Now we're saying that if that were to happen again, then he could make her drink again. He could bring her back to the Bais Hamikdash again and go through the whole process all over again.
Well, before that, if something happens, that when your girl grows, why would we have to bring her again?
Not because of the first time because the second time she may not have done anything wrong either, but nevertheless he suspects and he was Makane and so forth. So
it would react
maybe, but maybe you can't necessarily rely on that. The fact is that as far as he's concerned, he doesn't know one way or the other, and if we can bring her and do the same thing all over again. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Zois, on the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says that since it says in the pasuk zois, which is a mute, that means she'ena isha shos v'shoina. That means a woman does not drink it again. Tosfos brings from a Yerushalmi that in fact there was a woman named Kurkamis, who actually did end up drinking multiple times sota water in the presence of Shmaya Vavtayim. The Mishnah mentions an Adius. It says over there that Akavya ben Mahalalel disagreed with the Chachamim on a number of dinim. One of them was the question whether a shifcha, whether a giyotis or a shifcha meshachreris can be made to drink the sota water. Akavya ben Mahalalel held no. The Chachamim held yes. And Akavya said to them, so the Chachamim said to Akavya, what about this case of Karkamis or Kurkamis, who drank and Shmayev Avtayin supervised it, and she was a Shifcha Meshachreres, and he answers them in a way which the Chachamim actually felt was disrespectful to Shmaya and Avtayin, and they ended up putting him in Nidri. But whatever the case, the point is, from the Yerushalmi brings that it wasn't just one time. Apparently she ended up going through this whole ritual of the Sota several times.
Who's the one that answered that on this one?
That was Rakavi ben Mahalal answered in a way that the Chacham felt was disrespectful to Shmaya Vavtayin. He answered them, Dugma Hishkua, which there's a few different explanations among the Mephoshim, what exactly he meant by that. He means that they didn't give her real sota water, they just gave her something that looked like it in order to scare her. So in that case, the Chacham figured that's a chutzpah dikah thing to say about them, that they would pretend like that, or it means some of the Mephoshim explained. It means he was saying to them that, listen, they themselves were B'nai Gerim, so therefore they gave it to her as a Giyurda, so that's chutzpah dik to mention their ancestry like that in a derogatory way, whatever the case, anyway. The point... The Mishnah mentions it in Adius, and the Gemara mentions it in Brachas, yeah. Anyway, the point is, we see from this Tosfos, from this Yerushalmi, that it wasn't just a one-time thing, she went through this several times. Anyway, so but Rabbi Yehuda is saying that no. A woman does not go through multiple times. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Maisa behaved b'fanenu Nechunya Choyfa Shichin. It happened once that Nechunya Choyfa Shichin, his job with Shichin are ditches. So his job in the time of the Bais Hamikdash was to dig ditches for the ditches and then wells and pits and whatnot for the Oiler Regal. So they have plenty of water. So he gave Adris in front of us, Shoisha Shoisiv Ashoina, that a woman could drink the sota water multiple times. But Rav Yehuda says, V'kibalnu Adrisi B'shnei Anoshim. Now we accepted that his Adris is valid only when there's two different husbands. So she was married to Reuven. Reuven died or divorced her. Then she married Shimon. And now Shimon is warning her again. Then yes, she could end up having to drink again. Avaloi b'ish echad, but not when it's only one husband. Then the one husband can't, because of the word zois, says Rabbi Yehuda, the one husband can't make her drink a second time. So that's a bezais, means that if it's one husband, then it doesn't work. Then the second time, you can't do it. Once he did it one time, then the second time, if she's under suspicion again, either, like you said, either the water will choke her again, and then it'll happen anyway automatically. But if it doesn't, then nevertheless, he can't do anything. He just has to divorce her, and she forfeits her ksuba, as usual in the case where there's no meisaita.
Yeah, but there's no witnesses, you can't.
Yeah, there's witnesses to either the kinui or the stira, as we discussed at the beginning of the Sefer. Yeah. The Chachamim omrim, the Chachamim say that no, ein ha'isha shoyse v'shoyna ben v'ishecha ben v'shnei anashim. The Chachamim say that no, this is a third opinion, that no, she can never drink again, whether it's one husband or whether it's two separate husbands. So Tosfos compares it, by the way, with a case involving a person who stole. We have dinim over there about when is he sold as an eved ivri. That once he was sold once as an eved ivri. So then you have, if he stole again from the same person, he could be sold again as an eved ivri, but it was somebody else that not. So Tosfos wonders why it's any different over here, and it brings that Rashi over there learns that in general, once he was sold, he can never be sold again. Then that would fit better with our Gemara over here. Anyway, so the Gemara says, so like this, you have three different opinions. So the question is, first of all, Tanakama nami hoksiv zois. According to the Tanakama, doesn't it say zois? So shouldn't they be learning a miut from that? V'rabbonin basroi nami hoksiv todas. And the later chachamim, the chachamim omrim at the end of the braisa, the fact is it says todas, which implies that every time you have the same rules. So Rabbi Yehuda at least is saying that there are some times when she could, sometimes when she couldn't. So he's saying you have a miut and you have a ribu. He said therefore you apply one and you apply the other. But how is the Tanakhama saying that there seem to be no exceptions at all? The Tanakhama seems to be saying across the board, always shoyse of a shoyna. And according to the Chachamim at the end, she can never be. So what do they do with the zois and the Torah? So Torah. So Omar Rava, so Rava says like this, if it was one husband and it was the same possible boil, so Reuven is suspecting that she was being mizana with Moshe, and he tells Alti Sosri Mishpoini, and now again it happened again while she's married to Reuven, again she's under suspicion with Moshe, then everybody agrees that she won't drink again. Dichtiv Zois, because that's what you have the word Zois for. So in that case, it'll just be if Reuven again suspects her of being with Moshe, and he warns her Alti Sosri Mishpoini, and she isn't still with him, then again he'll have to divorce her and she forfeits her ksuba, like we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. B'shnei anoshim u'shnei boyalin. On the other hand, if it was two different husbands and two different boyalim, so Reuven suspected her with Moshe, and she, later on Reuven died or divorced her, and she married Shimon, and now Shimon suspects her with Shloima, then the kol amalei pligid, you should show some shine. Then everybody will agree that she will drink again. Dichtiv Toras, because there it says the word Toras, and everybody, even all three Tanoim in the Mishnah will agree to that. He pligi. The machloikus would be beish echad or shnei boyalim b'shnei anoshim or boyal echad. What if it was one husband and two boyalim, two potential boyalim, Moshe and Shloima, or one or two husbands and one boyal? So she was in other words, she was married to Reuven, and he suspected her with Moshe and warned her, and she went through the whole process, and now he suspects her with Shloima, the same husband, or suspects her with a different man, Shloima, or the other way around. She was married to Reuven, Reuven died, she married Shimon, and now Shimon suspects her also with Moshe. That would be the machlokas. Tanakama sava todas l'rabuya kuli. The Tanakama says the word todas in and of itself would include all those various cases. Zois l'mo'oti ishachod boyolachod. And the word zois excludes only the case where you have one husband and one boyol, that would be the case. We just said the Chachamim agree that in that case she's not drinking again. That would be what we're excluding by the word zois. V'rabbonin basroi sabri, the Chachamim omrim at the end of the braisa, the third opinion, they say on the contrary, zois l'mo'oti kuli. The zois excludes most cases. Todas l'rabui shnei anoshim or shnei boilim. You have the todas, which is a ribui. So fine, that includes the one case where you have two separate husbands and two separate boilim that she could be made to drink again. The Rabbi Yehuda takes a middle view. He says zois l'mo'oti tauti, todas l'rabui tauti. The word zois is excluding two possible cases, and the word todas is including two possible cases, because you have four cases altogether. You have one husband and one boil, one husband and two boilim, two husbands and one boil, or two husbands and two boilim. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Zeus is including two of them, that Zeus is excluding two of those cases, the Todas is including two of the cases. Zeus the Mo'oti Tauti, the Zeus is excluding two cases. Ish echad boil echad, ish echad shnei boilin. It's excluding the two cases where it's all the one husband. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says, look, you have a riboy and a mute, so therefore it must be up to the chachamim to determine what is more logical that we should be including and what we should be excluding. And so Rabbi Yehuda takes the view, says Rashi, like this you have, when the husband was mekane for her with one boil, and now it turns out she was innocent. Now if he's mekane to her to a different boil, now if he's mekane to her, whether with the same boil or whether with a different one, then we have every reason to think that this husband is just a quarrelsome kind of guy and he's trying to cause trouble. So therefore, we don't allow there to be a second. We're not going to put her through this whole process again a second time just because he seems to be a quarrelsome kind of guy. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, the Zeus must be to be Mamayit, where it's the same husband, we're not going to make her go through it twice. On the other hand, since it's separate husbands, Rabbi Yehuda says, obviously there's no reason to think that her second husband is the same kind of guy as the first one. Therefore, we have every reason to think that, in fact, he has good grounds for suspicion, and therefore that we should make her go through the whole process again. Either one or the other. So the halacha ends up being like the Tanakama. So when you have ish echad or boil echad, when you have the same husband is suspecting her with the same boil, then you don't make her go through it again. But in all the other cases, whether it was separate husbands or whether it was separate boiling, then you would.
But if she married a different woman, then they couldn't.
If who married a different, if the husband himself marries a second wife, then the rules of Sota are going to apply to her separately, of course. Right. Each woman is going to stand by herself. That's how the Rambam ends up paskening in this regard. If she drank the mea morim and she was cleansed of them, then he was mekane with her with the same man and can't give her again. She's going to be also tamed forever and divorced without a ksuba. But if it was somebody else, then she could drink multiple times as long as each time it's because of a different boil. And then he goes on to say that the same thing. If he divorced her and she married somebody else, even if it was the same boil, then also he can give her to drink again. So in other words, you have three of the, and the Rambam says, the point is that even doesn't matter how many times it is, you don't say that, look, every time each husband is suspecting her with the same guy, Moshe, there must be where there's smoke, there's fire, something is going on over here. No, every time we have her go through the whole process and see whether she's innocent or not. Hadron Alachoya, maybe.
Doesn't seem like going through the whole situation, the whole last thing, didn't seem to hold, to prevent her from going back to be a stealer or someone.
Well, that's another matter. That's true, yeah.